Good afternoon. We're here again from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station, up the hill, and we're beside Thornwood Primary School at the crossroads there. We meet on Sunday, the Lord's Day, at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. We also meet on a Wednesday evening for our midweek meeting. We meet there at 7:30, and we give you all a warm welcome to come along, whereby you might hear something more concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come out in the street this afternoon, as we've done on many other occasions, to draw to your attention a person. Who is that person? Well, that person is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who became the Son of Man, the God-man, the Savior, the great head of Christianity, and the one in whom our hope is placed upon. And we have a good hope. Why do we have a good hope? We have a good hope because He is the one who came from heaven. And He is the one who will take people to heaven. No other religious leader has ever come from heaven. There are many things that make Christianity unique, and this is one of them. The fact that the Son of God became a man. He left the realms of glory for a period, and He veiled His glory in flesh and became just like us, so that if He walked on Buchanan Street this afternoon, there would be nothing unusual about Him, nothing outwardly unusual that would distinguish Him from any other man. But this is the God-man, and He was conceived in a miraculous manner. He was conceived by a special operation of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this guaranteed that He had no original sin. He was absolutely sinless. And therefore He lived a perfect life. In fact, being God in the flesh, He could not sin. It was impossible for Him. And this is vitally important for us to grasp and to realize and to be encouraged about. That the one that you are asked to believe upon is the one who is alone sinless. He did not sin. He could not sin. It was impossible for Him. But this one who could not sin became sin for us. What does that mean? Well, it means that when He went to the cross, and I'm sure you know that this is what Christianity teaches us, that Jesus suffered and died and then went to the cross. And as He was in the cross, He was offering up Himself as a sacrifice, as a perfect sacrifice. And it was a perfect sacrifice because there was no sin in Him. And He was being punished in the room and in the place of sinners. And the very essence of the gospel is that if we put our faith and trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall have our sins forgiven. We will know the gift of eternal life. We will know what it is to be reconciled to God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel offers. That's what it is. And that's why we're out this afternoon, to tell you this good news that all of us need to hear. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter our nationality. It doesn't matter how much money we have or how well educated we are. It doesn't matter our social standing, our upbringing, or whatever. We all need to be saved. Why do we need to be saved? We need to be saved because we're all sinners. This is something the Bible makes clear. And it's not afraid to tell us. And indeed, only when we realize that we're sinners will we ever appreciate and value what Jesus Christ has done. And that's why we need to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus. We are sinners and we're under God's wrath and condemnation because of our sin. What does it say in John chapter 3, verse 36, the last verse in that chapter? Let me read it to you. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There we have something of the gospel message. If you truly believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe upon the Lord Jesus? Many people might believe in Jesus in an historical way. They might believe the Bible. They might believe the truths about Jesus. They might believe that Jesus is someone who came and suffered and died. They would believe that he was truly an historical figure. But to believe in Jesus in a saving manner is more than that. You might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he performed miracles. But something more is required in order to be saved. What is it? You must trust upon the Lord Jesus. You must cast yourself upon his mercy. That's what you must do. That's what it means to believe upon him. It means to give up any hope of saving yourself by your own good works or your own efforts or whatever. You cannot trust upon yourself and upon the Lord Jesus to be saved. You must trust upon him and upon him alone. That's what it means to believe upon him, or to receive him, or to follow him, or to call upon him, as the publican did when he went into the temple. Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner. He smote upon his breast, we are told. He couldn't look up. He said, Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner. And Jesus said that man went away justified. In other words, that man was right with God. Why was he right with God? He was right with God because he called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked to him to save him and not to himself, to his own religion or his own efforts, his own good works, his own charity works or whatever. He did not trust upon them. He trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse that I quoted earlier to you, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. There's going to be a great divide one day. A great divide. What will cause that division? The division will be caused between people who believe upon the Lord Jesus and those who do not believe upon the Lord Jesus. Those who believe upon the Lord Jesus shall have everlasting life. Those who do not believe upon the Lord Jesus shall not see life. As the verse goes on to say, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's very clear, therefore, what we're required to do in the gospel. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And what these verses are telling us is that our reaction to the Lord Jesus will determine our eternal destiny. If we believe upon him, if we receive him, if we trust him, we will have eternal life. If we do not, we will not have eternal life. We will perish. It couldn't be much clearer than that. It's stark. It's something we cannot in any sense ignore. It's vitally important to us all. Because one day, friends, no matter what we might do or say, the day will come when we shall all pass into eternity. We shall all be gathered to our fathers on one day. We shall all go the way of all the earth one day. And what will happen to us then? What will happen? How will we fare that day when we leave this scene of time? When we leave husbands and wives and sons and daughters? When we leave our homes and families, our money, our possessions, our occupations, and everything that we're familiar with, we will leave it all one day. Where will we go? We don't like to think about these things, but it would be foolish not to think upon these things because we're all mortal. Is it not true, friends, in some sense, that this world here, this world that we're all in, is really nothing but a glorified hospital? That's what it is. It is but a glorified hospital. And the only way out is death. Where will you go? The atheist will tell us, that there is no life after death. The atheist will tell us there's no life after death. Now we know that is not true. How do we know that's not true? It's not true because Jesus has demonstrated that there is life after death. There is life after death. The Lord Jesus Christ was taken down from the cross, dead, lifeless, a corpse. He was put into a borrowed tomb. He was there Friday night, all day Saturday, but early in the Sunday, the first day of the week, he arose. There was a great stone over the tomb. There was a guard there at the tomb also. But none of these things could contain the Lord Jesus. He arose. And therefore, friends, his resurrection guarantees your resurrection. His resurrection guarantees the resurrection of every single one of us. That's what's going to happen one day. And what kind of resurrection will we know? Well, those who are in Christ shall go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about those who are not Christians? What about those who reject Christ, who do not have him as Lord and Savior? What about them? What kind of resurrection will they have? Friends, it will be a resurrection of condemnation. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you there's a better way. To put your faith and hope and trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he has come. Someone has just passed me a note here. Actions speak louder than words. What does that mean? Actions speak louder than words. Well, all we can do is point to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has done wonderful things. He's a man of action, is he not? We're not preaching ourselves. We're not telling you to follow us. We're telling you to follow someone who has done something on behalf of mankind. We are pointing you towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that people need to hear this message. And how are they going to hear it? They're going to hear it when someone comes out and tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. and tells them that they must put their faith and hope and trust upon this one who said, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's on a rescue mission. And isn't it wonderful today that we can tell you all without fear and without favor, that the Lord Jesus Christ will receive you. If you will but come to Him, He will receive you. He said Himself on one occasion, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is it rest you're looking for, friends? Is it rest? Are there things troubling you? Is there things in the back of the mind troubling you in your quiet time? Oh, I know you're out here today. You're going shopping. You're out with friends. You're maybe going for a coffee, maybe going for a meal, and you're not thinking about these things. But there are occasions when you're quiet, maybe just before you're going to sleep at night, when things have quietened down and you're thinking about life. You're thinking about what's the purpose in life. Where am I going? What's going on? What will happen to me when I die? Well, the Bible tells us these things and answers these questions and tells us that it's a purpose in life. What is the purpose? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's the purpose in life. We're here with a purpose. And we cannot fulfill that purpose until we're reconciled to God. And the only way to be reconciled to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through believing upon His sacrifice and accepting Him as our substitute and following Him. No other religion can save you. No other person can save you. Jesus Himself did say in John chapter 14, verse 6, look it up yourselves in your Bibles when you get home. What does it say? I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. And that's the message the apostles brought. The apostles said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is absolutely unique, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Don't believe people who tell you there are a multitude of gods. Don't believe people when they tell you that all religions will lead to God. Absolute, utter nonsense. There is but one God, and there is but one way to that God, and that is through the Lord Jesus, who alone is absolutely unique. Having come from heaven, He takes people to heaven who believe upon Him. And that's what you must do. Every other religion in this world will tell you, you must perform certain things. You must work. You must do good works. You must perform this or that. But Christianity tells you to believe. Believe in one who has done everything required. One who has completely fulfilled the law of God, paid its penalty on behalf of others, and offers salvation to young and old, to rich or poor, to educated or uneducated. He calls you in the gospel to come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're heavy laden, I know. How do I know? I remember it myself. What's it like? It's having a guilty conscience. It's knowing you're not right with God. That's what it's like. And you cannot get rid of it. And the only way to get rid of it and deal with it is to surrender. and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And there's a special exhortation in the Bible to the youngsters. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember, young people, remember now it's a great time to be young, but you'll not be young for long. You have energy, you have enthusiasm, you have your whole life in front of you, we hope. But now is the time to seek the Lord Jesus. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. What are the evil days? The evil days are the days of old age. Why are they evil? They're evil because they're difficult days. And that's why you're urged to make your calling and election sure while you're young. Give your life to the Lord Jesus now. Call upon Him now in the days of your youth. Serve Him in your youth. What a wonderful blessing that will be, because when the evil days come, the great matter of your salvation will be dealt with, having been done years and decades ago. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It is imperative, therefore, friends, that you heed the warnings that we find in the Bible. And one warning that we find in the Bible is not to delay. It's not to procrastinate. It's not to cast aside the claims of Christ and say to yourselves, when I become older, then maybe I'll deal with this matter. You don't know how many days you will have. You don't know these things. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You are to seek the Lord while He may be found, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You are hearing something, and we have to confess it's only something small concerning Christ and concerning His claims that He has upon your life. But you dare not ignore these things. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to get right with God. None of us know what a day will bring forth. How many people have got up in the morning with a full schedule before them of various appointments and things that they sought to do, but they never did them? And they never got home. Instead, they were rushed into eternity. Therefore, friends, come. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Seek Him while He may be found. For what shall it profit of a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Very sobering questions. We cannot deny them. We cannot cast them aside. Cannot ignore them. They require our attention. We dare not cast them aside. Instead, we deal with them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We're about to draw our time to a close this afternoon. It's been good to be here with you. And one of the tracts we've been handing out is concerned about a cure. It's a tract about a cure. And everyone today is looking for a cure for the coronavirus, and we hope they do find a cure for it. But every one of us has a greater disease. We have it by nature. We are born with it. It's a disease of sin, and we cannot deal with it. No doctor can deal with it. None of the pharmaceutical companies can deal with it. Surgeons cannot deal with it. But Jesus Christ can, and He has. And in Christ, there is a perfect, absolute cure for sin. When we come to the Lord Jesus, all our sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. God no longer holds our sins against us. Why? Because they have been punished upon Christ instead. He is our substitute. He is our Savior. Today, friends, we hope that you might know this Savior, and that you might know that healing that He brings, that curing of that fatal disease called sin that we have by nature. Because one day, friends, we will all stand before King Jesus. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body, according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It is because one day the whole of humanity will stand before Christ, and they will give account, that we come out this afternoon to tell you about Christ the Savior, the one who has done all to save His people. And you are urged to put your faith and hope and trust upon Him. Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else, He says in His word. Therefore, look upon Christ, believe upon Him. We're going to close our time. We're from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We thank you for listening to us. We do pray that the Lord would bless His word to you.